What is going on, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of Ant and Big Red vs. the World. As always, I am Big Red.
And I'm still Average Ant.
And we had a very exciting weekend, which obviously gives us some good content to talk about and recap. So Ant, you want to tell the fans what we're going to get into today?
Yeah, so, I mean, anybody can guess it. NFL Championship weekend was obviously this Sunday, and for those that watched, it was two exciting games. Both went into OT, some questionable officiating, and that's pretty much all we got and what we're going to get into today.
Yeah, it's not anything special, as Ant said, but it is some of the bigger sports events that happened, and like Ant said, we got a couple of very exciting overtime games, so without further ado, let's get going with the Chiefs-Patriots game. Ant, you want to kind of get it going?
Yeah, so the Chiefs-Patriots game kind of started out how I expected it to. The Pats came out strong, took a 2-touchdown lead, I believe, into the half. But what I wasn't really expecting was the Chiefs' resurgence. And they ended up taking the lead late in the fourth quarter. There was actually a total of 4 lead changes, I think it was, in the fourth quarter. And the Chiefs went up actually by 4 with around 2 minutes left, which everybody knows 2 minutes is more than enough time for Tom Brady. So, of course, Tom Brady drives down the field. They get a touchdown. But it seemed like every set of downs they had, it was 2 incomplete passes and then a third down completion for about 12, 10, 15 yards or so. So Patriots take the lead with around 30 seconds left. And, of course, the Patriots defense can't really stop the Chiefs. Pat Mahomes kind of does his thing. They get into field goal range, make a field goal, obviously. And then it goes into OT. And then, obviously, Tom Brady deflates the coin. They get the ball to start OT, and that's pretty much all she wrote. Tom Brady drives down the field. They cap it off with a few runs to get into the end zone, and they're going back to the Super Bowl. So that's pretty much it. I mean, beginning and end were kind of interesting. The Chiefs scored 24 points in the fourth quarter, which is pretty much unlike any other Chiefs team we've really seen in recent or in the Andy Reid era. Pretty much, like, they all seem to just flare out. But before I kind of get into, like, my pros and cons or whatever, I guess you can put some of your spice on this.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, the Patriots came out hot. I mean, that's kind of what nobody was really surprised, I think, when we saw them jump out to the 14-0 lead at halftime. I mean, I was hoping the Chiefs put together a little better fight early on, but, I mean, they came back. They came storming back. Mahomes and the Chiefs' offense bounced back from a very, very rough first half, which I think was huge when you think about the future of the Chiefs. Their defense was definitely the reason they lost this game, and that's something that everybody was concerned about all season. So looking at the prospects for the future for the Chiefs, there's a lot to like. Patrick Mahomes played a very strong second half and showed that he is an MVP caliber quarterback. But that's not really what anybody cares about right now, and no Chiefs fan is going to take too much solace in that, knowing how close they were here in this overtime loss to the Patriots. But at the end of the day, the eternal Cinderella story of Tom Brady kind of wrote another chapter. I mean, the dude didn't play a fantastic game, ended up with a couple of picks. 346 yards is pretty solid. But when it got down to the fourth quarter, you said it yourself, it seemed like every time the Patriots needed a big play, there was a third down conversion from Tom Brady. And especially leading touchdown drives with 3 minutes left and 40 seconds left, and obviously the first drive in overtime. So, I mean, definitely stepping up huge. New England was about just under 70% success rate on third down. That's unheard of in the NFL. It's only been done above 50%. So even less, above 50% was only done 7 times by any team in the entire league this year in third down conversions. So it just shows basically how the Chiefs defense kind of disappeared. I thought they played a solid first three quarters, and then, I mean, you spread out 17 points amongst three quarters, and then they end up giving up 14 in the final 5 minutes. Definitely tough, but the Chiefs battled, went into OT, or got it to OT. Obviously, couldn't stop Tom Brady. Basically, they scored in the last 7 or 8 minutes of play. The Patriots scored three touchdowns, and you're not going to win like that. I mean, there's a few kind of keys to the game. Sony Michel ran for 113 yards, averaged about 4 yards a carry. That was one of my keys to the game before we came in, was the Chiefs had to stop the running game, and they couldn't. And it allowed us to see that vintage Tom Brady. Even in those final drives, the Patriots were still running the ball all over the Chiefs, and their defense basically disappeared with the exception of Daniel Sorensen, a safety who had 11 tackles and an interception. And even that interception was off the hands of Julian Edelman, so you can't necessarily say it was a bad play by Brady. And really, other than that, I don't even have a highlight for the Chiefs defense. No sacks, no pressure. It was brutal. And on the flip side, yes, the Chiefs as I mix up the names, yes, the Patriots defense gave up 24 points in the fourth quarter, which is bad. But in the first three quarters, they held the Chiefs to 7 points. They had four sacks. They were all over Mahomes. Obviously, they made the adjustment, and Andy Reid's offenses are very, very good. But offense wasn't enough to win it. Defense wins championships, and the Patriots defense stepped up bigger than the Chiefs did.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest, I guess, the silver lining for the Chiefs anyway is that Pat Mahomes showed up. I mean, I wasn't really knowing what to expect from him, considering how inexperienced he was in moments like this, but he came out and pretty much showed that he's next up. I mean, he's the quarterback of the future for not just the Chiefs, but for pretty much the NFL.
So yeah.
So I mean, it was really cool to see him step up in a moment where a lot of quarterbacks seem to like spiral out. And I mean, obviously on paper, I guess he kind of out past Brady, but I mean, the paper doesn't show those last two drives really and the significance that they had on the game. 'Cause yeah, Tom Brady did throw two interceptions, but when they needed it, he stepped up and gave us vintage Brady. So I mean, that's kind of all I really got for this game.
Yeah, there's one last thing I kind of want to say on it. Andy Reid has had a bad rap most of his career as a fantastic regular season coach that can't ever seem to clinch Super Bowls. I would argue Donovan McNabb wasn't the best quarterback in the world, and there are several factors that kind of cost him throughout his Philadelphia coaching career. And then obviously nobody expects anyone to win a championship with Alex Smith. Sorry, buddy, you're solid, but it just doesn't happen. But what really bothered me in the final minute of this game, actually, it's kind of where I feel like a lot of blame has to go on Andy Reid. With I believe it was I can't remember who got down to the 5 yard line. I think it was a pass. And there was about 45 seconds left when the pass for the Patriots was completed down inside the five.
Yeah.
Andy
Was that
Reid
Gronk?
was I believe I
It
think it
was,
was
yeah.
Gronk. Either way, Andy Reid didn't take a timeout until about 7 seconds had gone by on the
Oh,
clock.
yeah.
And now they in actuality the game clock ticked down to 36 seconds, but then the refs gave back a few seconds because the timeout was called earlier, obviously. But still, that's about 6 seconds that Andy Reid gave back to the Patriots, which, let's be honest, was any of us really expecting a goal line stop from the Chiefs defense there? No.
Nah.
And so, Andy Reid, if you're going to call a timeout, do it immediately, dude. You know your offense is going to have to go back out on the field and make a play. So call that timeout immediately and give yourself 45 seconds as opposed to the 30, 38 that you had. And then again, the first big completion that the Chiefs had on that ensuing comeback drive, the Chiefs spent about 7 or 8 seconds running up to the line, waiting to clock it, and Andy Reid calls his last timeout. Now you're down to 16 seconds with no timeouts. Obviously, you're going to take a deep shot and try for the end zone, but the Patriots were playing back. I mean, but that's another 8 seconds, which means that you could go out of bounds, you could throw it short out of bounds, or you could even throw it over the middle and run up and spike it. And then that would
personally, that's what I was expecting. I was expecting them to spike the ball right there.
Absolutely, and well, and to wait that long to call a timeout, it just didn't make any sense. If you're going to wait that long, shoot, save your timeout. Because then you can go over the middle, and then you can take like a 10-yard shot to the end zone. But Andy Reid, big time, not a big red bust, but a big time fail in this game, and really disappoints me because I like Andy Reid as a coach, but I know there's a couple small things, but when you're playing the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick, a couple small things can cost you, and Andy Reid should know that more than anyone, losing to him in the Super Bowl with the Eagles way back in 2004. So yeah, I was really disappointed with that, and obviously it cost the Chiefs, and yeah, things to look forward for the Chiefs, but here we go, another Tom Brady Super Bowl. That's number 9.
Yeah, well, like that 6 second runoff or whatever, and then not calling waiting to call the other timeout. I guess he waited both times. That's 2 plays. Even if they don't like get a pass over the middle or anything, that's 2 more shots at the end zone they could have took. I mean, absolutely. I think they kicked the field goal on like 2nd down, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I mean, really, because they ate up another 5 or 6 seconds with that with the kind of throw out of the end zone. So there wasn't the way they played it. There was nothing really else they could do. I just think they played it really poorly.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess from one kind of poorly played game to another, the Rams and Saints game, the infamous Rams and Saints game, a lot of drama in this game. I guess kind of set it up a little bit. The Saints came out, and if you listened last week, we both Big Red and I said that they had to come out and get up early in the game, and that's exactly what they did. They were up 2 scores. They looked really solid in the first quarter and a half, and then it kind of all went downhill. The Rams came back. Obviously, the Saints defense kind of floundered, and the Rams came back and tied it eventually to 20-20. The Saints couldn't really get anything on the ground, really. But to set this up a little bit to the climax, I guess, is so it's tied 20-20. The Saints have the ball. Their drive started with about like a little over 3 minutes, I believe, is when this drive started. Yeah. But it really started to pick up when Drew Brees hits like a 40-yard pass and puts the Saints around the 25-yard line with about 1:50 left in the game. And this is pretty much victory formation. I mean, obviously they still have to kick the field goal, but I mean, the Rams only had 2 timeouts, so it would have been easy for them to just run out the clock, get it down to under 1 minute, around probably like 30 seconds-ish, something like that. But here's where the questionable play call comes in. Like Andy Reid, Sean Payton didn't play this the best way he could. They call a pass play. After completing that 40-yard pass, they call a pass play instead of running it. And it's not bad enough that they called a pass play. But they didn't complete the pass. And immediately after Drew Brees throws this 40-yard pass, he throws it right at Michael Thomas's ankles into the ground. So that saves the Rams a timeout. And it burned a total of maybe like 2 or 3 seconds off the clock. So now they're in this position. They try to run the next play. They get stopped. I think it was like a loss of 1 yard. And then the infamous no call happens. We'll get into that in a little bit after we kind of get this recap. And then the Saints are forced to kick a field goal. They make it, but there's 1:40, I think it was, around that, for the Rams.
Just about 1 minute.
To get the ball back. And here's Sean Payton's questionable play calling again. They decide to like blitz almost every play and leave the middle open for Jared Goff to throw. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with Jared Goff, but I'm way more comfortable having him trying to beat you on the outside, deep balls on the outside, than just kind of 10-15-yard passes up in the middle. So, I mean, Sean Payton left his defense exposed. Rams able to drive down the field, get into field goal range, kick a field goal to tie it, go into OT. But here's the good thing, Saints get the ball back, right? But for some reason, Drew Brees almost has a knee to the ground, decides to throw the ball. His arm gets hit like halfway through his throwing motion. It's a duck, gets picked. Rams kick a field goal, win. So with kind of that game set up a little bit, I mean, I'll let you take it from wherever you want. We could go kind of like three or four different directions with this.
Yeah, and I'll just kind of give my overall game opinion here. I mean, like this game made me so mad, especially the end of it. Not just because I hate the Rams and I don't like Sean McVay, but there's an obvious reason why this game was super, super irritating for that no call. But I mean, I kind of want to just give opinions on the game a little bit here. You mentioned some rough play clock management down at the end. Drew Brees is your guy, so I understand Sean Payton after a big completion like that. Oh my God, Drew Brees is hot. We'll stay on this momentum, get this touchdown, let's clinch this. So I understand that and all, but running the ball is clearly was the better option. You want the Rams to burn their timeouts. You don't want them to be able to go down with 1:30 and all the timeouts in the world. And so I run the ball a little bit more. You have Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, like a pair of the best running backs in the league. Or you have one of the best passing quarterbacks in the league. So do something like the Chiefs do, like Andy Reid does, like Sean Payton does majority of the time, where you basically run by passing. Short passing games to Kamara, things like that. Get something out quick that you know is going to be a completion. And that still eats time off the clock if you want to pass it. So that was very disappointing for me there at the end. And you mentioned the Saints came out hot, which was a huge key. The fact that they jumped out 13-0, Jared Goff had 7 yards at the end of the first quarter and an interception. I'm looking, I tweeted out, playoff Jared Goff strikes again. This is great. I was super excited. Sean McVay was going to be tagged with a, can his teams really win in the playoffs? Is Jared Goff a system QB? It was going to be great. It was going to be awesome narratives that I believe. But no, after that 13-0 start, the Rams outscored the Saints 26-10, including overtime. Jared Goff finished the game 23 of 36 for 290 yards and a touchdown, about 8 yards per carry. Jared Goff, you stepped up. I wouldn't say you played amazing, but you definitely stepped up and basically did what you've done all year is enough for the Rams to win in the close games against good competition. The other weird thing that was odd about the Rams and I guess a huge success for the Saints was Todd Gurley had 4 carries for 10 yards. Now he got that touchdown right before the half. Good Lord, I was touting Todd Gurley as the best running back in the NFL last week, and he comes out and gets 10 yards. Big butterball CJ Anderson had 16 carries. You're giving CJ Anderson the Denver flop 16 carries in your NFC Championship game. Was weird, but I can't disagree since it worked for the Rams. They crawled, scratched and crawled all the way back into the game. The Saints defense kind of went MIA after the first quarter. Cameron Jordan had one sack. That was the only sack the Saints had really all game. Even at home, they weren't able to get a lot of pressure. I know the Rams offensive line is great, but you got to be a little better than that in the playoffs. And quite frankly, so does Drew Brees. Drew Brees finished 25 of 40 for 297 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Yeah, that pick was an overtime, so his numbers probably look a little better if there was a certain call that went the Saints' way. But Brees kind of dinked and dunked him. He connected to 9 different receivers throughout the game, had a few big plays, which resulted in Saints scores, but. Overall, I think the biggest thing is after the first quarter, the Saints really struggled to maintain offensive consistency and, more importantly, punch it into the end zone when it mattered. So I mean, overall, my game opinion is the Saints, I feel like, dominated. Not dominated, but I feel like the Saints played a better game here. Just some questionable calls down the stretch, both play calling and officiating. And now, sadly, we have to watch Sean McVay in the Super Bowl. I'm not happy about it.
I thought for some reason I thought you were a fan of Sean McVay.
I should be. I think it's mostly just a Seahawks bias, but I mean, dude, the whole league is just all on his jock. Like anything that man
I
does,
feel.
anything he does, and when he doesn't do well, it seems to be somebody else's fault. Now he hasn't done poorly all that much. I could probably think of a handful of times he actually struggled, the Atlanta playoff game last year and probably the Bears embarrassment earlier this year, but I mean it's a probably a little biased hate, but
Yeah. Oh
I just can't
well.
stand it. And the things he like the petty things he does to and like says to some coaches after he wins, specifically Pete Carroll, it just kind of bugs me a little bit. But I mean, I recognize him as a very quality coach in the NFL. I'd like to see. I definitely want to see how he handles Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. I mean, that'll be an interesting thing. It's going to kind of, for me at least, verify whether or not he's a good coach or if he benefited from the worst no call in playoff history, in my opinion. So we'll get right into it. Minute 45 left, third down for the Saints. Pass over to Tommy Lee Lewis. Nickell Robey-Coleman blows my man Tommy Lee Lewis into the freeway with a hit before the ball's there. And refs standing around, kind of, maybe their hands are down their pants. I don't know what they're doing, but they can't make this call. This no call on third down with a minute 45 left that would have given the Saints a first down. And I'm hoping that Sean Payton runs the ball a couple times and forces those two timeouts out of the Rams and gets the clock down to, at worst, gets the clock down to like 50 seconds with another field goal, but no timeouts for the Rams. So, I mean, Nickell Robey-Coleman, pass interference or hit on a defensive receiver, no call. Bill Vinovich's crew, absolutely disgusting and terrible. Ant, what's your take?
Yeah, it was a call that had to be made. I mean, as blatant as it was, there's two referees standing right there. Looking at it, it's actually kind of two penalties, like you said. Hit on a defenseless receiver, PI obviously, some helmet to helmet there. I was kind of shocked, honestly, that it wasn't called. I was just sitting there waiting for a flag to be thrown, and it was never thrown.
How could you
And
not
I was
be?
just like, what? Like, that's, I mean, I know I'm not like the biggest football fan. I don't know the rule book by heart, but if I had to put my life on pointing out a pass interference call,
It would
that's
be that.
probably what. That's probably what.
I'm gonna jump in. I'm gonna jump in just because you made me think of like a perfect comparison. So you said you're kind of standing there like what? Like when it's not called. What that immediately makes me think of is Armando Galarraga on the Detroit Tigers a few years back, that perfect game. And he's running to first base, catches it, touches it back, and Jim Joyce goes, safe. This dude's out by like 6 feet, and he goes, safe. And my guy Armando Galarraga sitting there, he just kind of is in absolute shock and just kind of puts on this big smile, like, there's no way that just happened. Like there's no way. And it took a perfect game away from him. And I feel exactly the same about this play because that no call essentially took a Super Bowl appearance away from the Saints. And so I'll let you jump back in, but I just felt like that Armando Galarraga comparison was like perfect for that moment.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, super shocker that they didn't call it. I mean, it would have, I don't know if it would necessarily 100% sealed it because the Saints were a bit questionable with their play call and all that and clock management leading up to that. But I mean, it would have put them in a really, really good position to kick a game-winning field goal from, or if they gained no yards from like the 10. So, I mean, that's a lot better from where they did kick it, where they made it. So, I mean, that put them up three with, like you said, at like 50 seconds, probably around that.
at that's where it would have been at the least, like, at the least if the Saints A couldn't get a touchdown and B couldn't get any yards going on the ground.
Yeah, but kind of where I stand on this, I feel like the Saints shouldn't have allowed themselves to be in the position where a call can make or break them. Like they're, like I said, they were questionable. Their play call was questionable. A slant play that's thrown at your receiver's ankles, definitely not the right way to go. Yeah, they were robbed on that, but they also robbed themselves. So, I mean, I don't know. I can't. One thing I learned, like playing sports and stuff, is you can't really rely on officiating at all. I mean, they're humans. They're going to make mistakes. Sometimes they're incompetent, which might be the case here. But that's the one thing I really learned, is that that's one thing you just absolutely can't control. But what you can control is yourself, your team, your play call, your time management. That's stuff you can control. So for me, it's not, I can't, if I'm a Saints fan or something like that, I can't put this loss entirely on that call. Yes, it would have sealed it. Would have sealed them the win for them, but they should have sealed the win themselves. They shouldn't have to rely on a referee to seal a win for them. So that's kind of my initial kind of feeling about that.
Yeah, and I completely understand. I get the take. Shout out Zane, local Finn, local Saints fan. Sorry you had to get bled like that. It was brutal. and I get that. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure most any Saints fan taking a very big step back from the whole thing can sit there and be like, yeah, there was places we could have played better. Down the line, Saints players and Sean Payton will probably say the same. But I mean, that initial gut punch, I mean, it's, yeah, there are options where you could have, it's like when you talk about like a kicker missing a field goal and you lose by 3 points, it's like, okay, yeah, you lost by 3 points, but is that game on that kicker? Not necessarily, but in a way, yeah. And so for me, especially in the NFL playoffs, these games come down to the absolute freaking wire. And we're talking about two overtime games here in the NFC Championship. And shoot, he doesn't have a pass interference. Maybe Tommy Lee Lewis comes back and catches it. I am not necessarily confident on that either, but at the end of the day, it was absolutely a pass interference call. Roby Coleman even said after the game, quote, "Oh hell yeah, that was PI," to USA Today. So he came to the sideline, looked at the football gods, and said, "Thank you." It is what it is. When you catch breaks in this league, you got to take advantage. This league's too hard to get a break and not take advantage of it. The door opened and the door closed just that quick. And I think that's a really good summary on both ends. The Saints had breaks early on, and they didn't necessarily take advantage of it, and the Rams had probably the biggest break. We'll hear about this call, or this no call, for ages. It'll come down as the Roby Coleman game, the no call heard around the world. It was absolutely atrocious that a game comes down to a play like that, in my opinion. And so while I will take a step away from this call saying that the Saints would have sent them to the Super Bowl, and I will be on your bandwagon a little bit where it's the Saints needed to step up in other areas. I completely understand that. What I cannot stand is the fact that I have to watch a championship game come down to that human error, to that reffing human error.
I agree with you there for sure.
Yeah. Bill Vinovich's crew, in my opinion, it botched it more than any call I've seen in a long time. I and healthcare centers, as just kind of a little joking here, I and healthcare centers actually like sent out tweets and offers for free eye exams to Saints refs, to the refs in the Saints game. Madden, Bleacher Report did a Madden simulation with the exact same play. And guess what pass interference was called? Now, I don't know how many of y'all play Madden, but I haven't played the last couple, but I played Madden for a long, long time in middle school and high school. And I think maybe I got one, maybe two pass interference calls my entire time playing Madden. Horrible. Absolute joke. And yeah, I my personal opinion, Bill Vinovich's crew should be suspended for next year's playoffs. They should not be allowed to step into the playoffs for at least 1 year, if not more. JJ Watt even tweeted out, there needs to be some form of accountability, needs to be. And that's another NFL player watching this game and understanding what a fantastic game it was, and then looking at the fact that it goes into the hands of the refs. And so, like I said, I do agree that the Saints should have stepped up in other areas, but it's absolutely disgusting when I have to look at Bird Box memes of NFL refs in the playoffs, man. Like, these playoff refs are supposed to be your best rated, the ones that have come up with the least poor reviews and least mistakes, and it's just an absolute joke.
Yeah, I mean, something that I do agree on, though, is that they do need to be held accountable in some form. There needs to be more testing, I guess, or whatever, in determining on who's going to be there. You can't have this, period. You can't have a call or a missed call like this, period, when there's two referees standing within a few feet, I mean, at risk of getting hit by one of the players, missing a call like that. I mean, it's right in front of your face. I mean, you're getting turf in your eyes. That's probably how they missed it. They had turf in their eyes from the hit. So, I mean, one thing I can agree on is that it was definitely, at the very least, pass interference. Helmet to helmet, possibly. Hit on a defenseless receiver as well. It changed the outcome, but the Saints also were in control of their own destiny, and they blew it. So I'm not going to show sympathy really to the Saints because they had their shots. But I mean, I will agree that it's just awful that
it's embarrassing.
That it is embarrassing. If I'm the NFL, that's embarrassing that it came down to that.
100%. And so, I mean, we'll move on from a little bit, but diving right back into it, literally this play, we've seen this happen before. Say the Fail Mary for the Seahawks back in Russell Wilson's rookie year, that brought all the replacement refs out and brought back the real refs. I think this is going to be another similar play that kind of resonates huge around the league. And immediately after the game, reports came out that the NFL would look into making pass interference plays reviewable. Now, a league source said it will be discussed at length, along with additional fouls that coaches feel subject to review. That was a report to the Washington Post. Another high-ranking NFL official said there will be discussion on replays of reviews of calls and non-calls. So essentially, the no-call horde around the world is going to play a role in possibly us maybe seeing pass interference reviews next year or other potential reviews. So, Ant, kind of what's your opinion? And then we'll kind of maybe get into how we think it should go or if there's another call that should be reviewed as well.
Yeah, I mean, something that's as ambiguous, I mean, obviously not in this situation because it was pretty obvious that it was pass interference, but something that's ambiguous and is really left up to the judgment of an official like pass interference, it should be a reviewable thing. That and then like roughing the passer and stuff like that, where it's up to the official's judgment whether it's a penalty or not, should be subject to review. It shouldn't be a challenge. You shouldn't have to be charged for that because it really is up to human review. I mean, they're not robots. There isn't a set level to where it's pass interference or it's not. If it's roughing the passer or it's not, and because there's no set value, and you can't really set a value on that. They should be reviewed. And I mean, that's really how I feel. I mean, I don't really think I can really go much deeper into that because that's really how it is. That's how it is in the NBA. Things that are ambiguous. Like you said, pre-show, almost everything is reviewable in the NBA. I mean, you said that too about the MLB. I mean, all other sports, you can review things. And I have no idea why something like the NFL that has ambiguous rules that can cost obviously worst case scenario costs a game, but it can cost a significant chunk of yardage. So I mean, something that has that much of a significance to not be reviewable is kind of silly to me, honestly.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. I love that you mentioned the roughing the passer too. I was gonna say that myself. Look no further than the Chiefs Patriots game with the old smack the Phantom on Tom Brady's shoulder pad. Oh,
the Phantom roughing the passer.
Oh, that was awful. And like you said, there's not a ton to say on it because I think everyone would look at this and be like, yeah, Everything else is reviewable. Like MLB reviews everything, the NBA reviews everything. Like, what is the NFL doing lagging behind here? Especially on stuff like pass interference and roughing the passer. You can go to six different games in the NFL, and roughing the passer and pass interference will be called differently in each one of those games.
Yeah, like I said, like it's up to the whoever's officiating, it's up to their judgment to whatever it is.
Absolutely, and I think that a little bit of hand checking and the refs that allow some of that, I think that is correct. I think they should do that. Let the guys play football a little bit. But I'm a big Seahawks example user, but I mean it fits again perfectly into this. The Seahawks played a really physical brand of football for a while with the Legion of Boom, and oftentimes when the Seahawks would play other teams, refs would let a little bit more contact go, and they would let a little bit more contact go on both sides, and so it's. That just is a perfect example of how ambiguous it is and how much of a human judgment call it is. So if you're openly admitting to it's a human judgment call, why not have reviews? Why not be able to go look at your judgment call with another referee, your head referee, and look at it and then discuss and say, yeah, that was pass interference. No, that wasn't pass interference. Yeah, that was roughing the passer. Okay, what the hell did we see on this little tap of Brady's shoulder pad that made that a pass interference or roughing the passer? So I absolutely needs to happen in my opinion. Like you said, there's not a ton more into it. It's just kind of please fix the league. Everyone else is on board. Get with it, Roger Goodell.
Yeah, I mean, good, someone needs to reprogram Goodell bot or something, dude. It's they really are pretty much light years behind all the other leagues. I mean, obviously they're the most popular as of now in the USA. I mean, but in 10 years will they be? I mean, all this stuff, like
It's a
all
lot of
these
stuff.
rules, kind of makes it turns fans off. It turns fans away, and that's something that you can't have happen. I mean. Rules, officiating, all that stuff can't be the reason why fans don't tune in to watch every weekend.
100%. I mean, the other leagues, the NBA is rising fast right now. The MLB is doing things to increase pace of play and basically make their games more enjoyable. In the last few years, the NFL seemingly has bad rap after bad rap thrown their way, whether it's head injuries or bad officiating, questionable rules like the new roughing the passer can't put your weight on him. And so the NFL is kind of trending in the opposite direction, and we got to reprogram Goodell bot, like you said, and get it back up. Officiating should not play this big a role in any game in any sport.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a big headache, honestly. Not knowing what's a penalty, what's not, it's annoying. And I mean, that's kind of all I got for that. Like we both said, it's pretty much black and white, so.
Absolutely. Change has got to be made. And so from there, we'll kind of wrap it up here. I got a big red baller, Seattleites, Edgar Martinez, baby. 75% of the public ballots or the ballots are available, and 90% of them have the dude Gar on there. I believe the announcements are being made today. So I'm just happy. I think Edgar Martinez is finally going to get in and well deserved. It only took him every year possible. About time, baseball America.
Yeah, shout out Edgar Martinez. I mean, if it was up to me, it would have been on a long time ago, but unfortunately, it's not, so.
Well, 100%. And a big red bust. This one kind of hits me a little hard. Big Red is busting himself.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry, Chiefs fans. I'm sorry, Saints fans. I'm sorry, Dodgers fans. I'm sorry, Panthers fans. I'm sorry, Bama fans, I guess. Just about all those picks that I made were Big Red was thinking they were going to win, and with the exception of me calling the Dodgers getting the World Series, and I mean, I had a few other dubs in there, like predicting the Ravens were going to bounce the Steelers and the Colts were going to get in, and that was kind of a big one. But other than that, Big Red has taken a lot of L's on his picks, and here's hoping to the rest of 2019 goes a little bit better. Maybe my NBA picks will be solid. So yeah, Big
Yeah,
Red.
I'll throw myself on there too. I mean, I've had if equal, if not more L's than you have, so.
At least you got the Pats right, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, me and everybody else, I guess.
Yeah, so Big Red and semi-average ant on the bus list. We will be better. Big Red and Aberdant fans, we will.
Yes, we will. And also to Big Red and Aberdant fans, if you are a Patriots or Rams fan and you want to get on here on the podcast, feel free to reach out. We kind of want to do like a little Super Bowl like build up type thing. So it'd be cool to have some fans on here. We'll keep it civil to a degree, but we'll pretty much just let you guys go at it. So if you are a fan of either team or back either team, whatever, feel free to reach out, let us know, and we'll try to arrange something.
Yeah, we'll get that big old trash sesh going on. I know I don't want to see the Rams and Patriots all that much in the Super Bowl, but I know y'all fans do. It should be an exciting matchup. So thanks for listening, guys.
Yep. Aberdant signing off.